Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Right now, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Burning us, God. Burning us, Jesus. Come on, everybody in this place right now, raise your hands to heaven right now. It's your sign of surrender to Him right now. Lord, I call down right now in the name of the Father that You would just let Your power fall on Your people in this place, God. Let Your spirit of awakening happen in this place right now, Jesus. Lord, burn within them, Lord God, a desire to see those around them, to be able to be influenced by them in the name of Jesus. Father, use us. Use us at Your way. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We receive from You, God. We receive from You right now, Jesus. We receive from You right now. We receive from You right now. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. There is none like You, God. There's none like You, Lord. Come on, just sing that chorus one more time together for the sake of the world. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul. For every eye to see, for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Yes.
I just sense that there's someone out here that's just feeling this emptiness. It's like when you're hungry and you just don't know what you're hungry for. Just like, I'm hungry. And you need to be filled this morning. And I'm here to tell you that you can be filled. And what you're hungry for is found in this place of surrender. Amen. Am I talking to anybody out there? Just hungry. Just kind of like, man, yeah, I want to shine out to the world. I want to be filled, but just hungry for something. And I just want to share with you that this place of hunger can be filled by the Spirit. But here's the thing. There's things inside of us that God wants us to pour out. Amen. There's just things there filling up, trying to fill the things we've tried to put in that place to fill ourselves up. We all do this. It's kind of human nature to try to just fill up that void. But I just want to encourage us all this morning that we would pour out before the Lord and just unload. Just unload today. I don't know if it's after the service or if it's, you know, sometime during the service. It's just the silent prayers of just pouring out. God, confession. This is what I've tried to fill. But God, I'm still hungry. You may be saved and still hungry because filling of the Holy Spirit is a daily, like, moment by moment process. It's like a decision every minute to be filled with the Spirit, to not let anything else come into that place and take that place in the seat of your heart. Amen? Who knows what I'm talking about? So God, we just pray right now that you would show us those areas in our hearts, Father God, that have not been yielded to your Spirit, Father God, that have not been given up to you, Father. What we've been holding on to, Father, that will keep you from really filling that place in our heart, Lord God, that you were meant to fill, and only you were meant to fill. Holy Spirit, we want to be filled by you, God, that we would be pouring out over everyone who comes in contact with us, Father God. That's our heart. That's our heart, Father God. So right now, I just give you complete control of my life, God. Amen. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. Can I just ask us to just raise our arms towards heaven? If that's your heart right now, that you want to be yielded, God. We yield to you, Lord God. Just say that with me. God, I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you, Father God, holding nothing back. God, reveal to me any way that I'm holding anything back from you, God, out of fear. Out of, God, fear that I might be rejected, or I might be something bad will happen to me if I don't give up control. God, I relinquish control. Let yourself, your Spirit guide me, God, in every decision, in every moment of my life, Lord God. I give it up to you. Come and fill us, Lord. Come and fill us, Father God. Light the fire in us afresh and anew. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I also feel like there's a word, hope, that keeps coming to me. And this is for someone in here, and it just won't go. If your name is Hope, or if you are hopeless and you need hope, would you come at the break and come? I would like to pray with you. But we're gonna end our worship time, and thank you, worship team, and we're just gonna have a visit time, and then we'll get back to service. But if your name is Hope, or if you need hope, come and pray with me. Okay? Bless you.
All right. How are we doing, church? Good to see you. Man, I'm loving that snow. I just decided I'm going to get out and go. No, I hate it. I'm just kidding. I'm not doing anything out there. I'm pretending like it's not real. Right? What about you? You guys love it? Okay. We got some optimistic folks out here. We love them. That's how you stay in Alaska forever, right? Is you just can push through the whiteness. At least it's light out. It's sunny out, right? Yeah, that's always good. Hey, we have some new babies around this place. We have a new baby. His name is Kyler Ashton Phillips. Do we have a picture of Kyle? Yeah, there he is. Whoa, what's going on? That was a good baby. Quick, there he is. Isn't that a cutie? All right, well, James and Nicole Phillips had their baby. I don't know if they're in here today, but... There they are. There they are. I'm sure the baby is over there, but, yep, 8 pounds, straight up 8 pounds, 20 inches, man. Just even numbers. Those are good. Those are good. Well, congratulations. Welcome to the family, little Kyler. One other thing we also have is after church today is our newcomers lunch. And I think we have about 25 or 30 spots still open. But there's a cutoff there. So if you're new, and you haven't gotten to know our staff, and you and pastors and staff are all going to be there after church today over in the chapel at 1 o'clock. And so you can sign up, but once we get to 50, we're done. So we did have an RSVP, so next time if you're on the list, you can be RSVP'd for the next one we do. But we only planned food for 50, and we had like 10 sign up, so we decided we open it up to everybody and see if anybody wants to show up. You'll find out more about what our vision is as a church, what our focus is, and get to know our staff and get to know them personally and more of the ministries that we offer and kind of what we're all about here at Abbott Loop. So go ahead and do that at 1 o'clock if you want. Also, we have our vision gala, which is like a vision banquet, but a gala because it's cooler, right? Gala's even better. And you can purchase a ticket. It's $5 per person and then $15 for a family, no matter kind of how big your family is. Some of y'all are going to get a really good deal on that. The food, I promise, just the food alone for individuals is worth more than that. We have gifts for everybody. One of the things we're wanting to do is really envision you with our vision. What God has placed in our heart to become a discipling church, one-on-one discipleship factory. We have some new discipleship material that we're going to roll out, and we have some gifts for you that are going to help you grow in this way. Also, everyone and anyone who's been a volunteer and you've served in some way, we really want you to make it out to the Vision Gala. We want to honor you as a whole church. So make it out. Get your tickets. You can get them at the information booth at the end of the church service, and we're going to be selling them all the way up to the event. I think there's 200 and some spots because we're just limited in our church, in our space here, and I think we can get about 200, 225 maybe if we're really squeezing. So get your tickets now. You don't want to miss out on it because once we're full, we just can only do so much. So until God provides larger spaces for us. Amen? All right. Okay, so I think that's it. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. It's great worship today, huh? So I have to take personal responsibility for the words not working today because I froze the screen. And I'm so sorry. I didn't tell other people how to unfreeze the screen. So I turned the whole media team into chaos this morning. And I didn't even know it. I was having a happy as a clam day, and they were struggling. So that's my bad. So, yeah. You can't be good at everything. In fact, my mom told me I'd be good at nothing. So, you know, I'm not just kidding. She didn't say that to me. That's so mean. She didn't say that to me. She was a way better mom than that. Okay, 1 John 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come. We were talking about Resurrection Sunday last week, and we had Good Friday, right? And that Jesus really did come. This is important that we know. He's not a fiction God. He's not a fictionary God or a makeup God. He's for real. It says we know without a shadow of a doubt, we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. That's good. That's a good promise right there, huh? We can know the true God. There's many religions that are out there that say, you know what? You can't really know God. He's just big God up in the sky. And you can have no real relationship with him. But our God, the true God, the real God, he wants to be known. And he has made a relationship and a way for that relationship to be known and to know. And that is found in fellowship. That's really defined as fellowship. And it goes on to say that we can know the true God, and now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. So today we're really going to talk about God's place in your heart. Where is God's place in your heart? And are there things in your life that might be taking the place that only God is designed for, that God shaped your life for? When I got saved, in fact, my wife now, she's the one that witnessed to me and led me to the Lord. And many of you might have heard this before, but she said to me, and this is true, we find it here, is that there's a God-shaped hole inside of every one of us. It's just shaped just like Jesus. And nothing else can fill that space. Nothing. And God designed you with that God-shaped space in your heart so that you could have fellowship, intimate fellowship with him and the Father through him. Isn't that beautiful? You can know him, and you can know him for real because he is a real God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We exalt you today. There truly is none like you. Lord, we are asking that you will bring fresh and new revelation on our relationship with you. And God, we're declaring today that you will be the King of Kings. You will be the Lord of Lords in our heart. And God, we will place you in the highest place, and nothing will get in the way of our relationship with you. God, we are asking through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will enable us to live this way. God, knit this church together with love and cause our love to abound more and more and more as we seek your face in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We can know the true God. We can know the true God. Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that a great promise? You know, I've thought about a lot of different other kinds of religions and stories that are out there about how to find God. And many of them, virtually all of them, are this work-based theology about who God is, and that we have to take all of these great painstaking measures and sacrifices to get to know God. And they portray him as so far away on this gigantic journey of sacrifice and of pain and suffering and toil and works and all this stuff, and virtually make it impossible and quench every hope that we could truly know him. But that's not who God really is. And that's not the God of the Bible. That is not Jesus and the relationship that Jesus made a way for. We have a God that came the entire distance, that made up everything, took all the ground, and he did everything that was necessary so that we could know him. And all of that is found in this beautiful gift and package that is Jesus. And we can know the true God through the Son, through Jesus, because Jesus is God. The Bible says if we know the Son, we know the Father. Isn't that great? And the only step that we need to take is believe. The only step that we need to have is to believe. We covered so much of this ground over the last week talking about the resurrection and the coming of Christ. And if you want to really dig in, grab those last two messages off podcast and you can really get a lot more of a fresh picture of what Jesus really did, how God sent Christ to come and bridge this gap so you can really know him. It says here that he has given us understanding to live in fellowship. So in John 5:20, it says, now, and we know that the Son of God has come and he has given us understanding. This word understanding is, in the Greek, it means your mind, thinking, understanding. This is a part of the inner person that thinks and processes information into understanding, including the making of choices. It's the seat of which is the heart. So this understanding is in a place where it's deep in your soul. It's deep in your consciousness, and it's a place, the seat, where you have the opportunity to make decisions. See, just because we understand doesn't mean we do. Right? This is truly the difference between a fool and a wise person. Come on now. Both understand the truth. It's just about how they apply it. And this type of understanding is the type of understanding that it says he gave us this understanding through the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of grace. God gives us not only what we ought to do, but the power in our seat of our mind to actually do it. That's how grace really works. So in kingdom life, God just doesn't, in Christ, in the kingdom life in Christ, purchased by the life of Christ, you and I, we don't just get this giant set of rules that we have to try to measure up to. And we always feel this inferior. Jesus destroyed the rules. He knocked them all down and he said, in me, I will give you understanding how you ought to live in our relationship so we can fellowship, which it says. And I'll give you the ability to do it. Why would we not choose him?
This is where I go to. I'm like, God, I remember when I got saved and I gave my heart to the Lord and I found that there's this God-shaped hole in, and that I was inside of me and I was made for it. And I remember just thinking, God, if you are really real, why would I not choose you? It makes no sense. If I can know you, why would I not want that? You made me, right? Man, it's so beautiful that our God loved us so much that he wanted this intimate fellowship and he would pursue us and implant in our minds the ability to understand and the ability to actually carry it out. And it says this, it goes on to say, so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see this? You see this? We get to live in him. We get to live in genuine fellowship with him, the Father, because we live in fellowship with the Son. And this Greek word is to know, to come to know, to recognize and understand. And it even has this understanding of the deepest kind of intimacy that we can experience, which is physically, which is like sexual intimacy in marriage and the full intimacy of marriage. That is understood in this Greek word. But it's a process. I want you to understand this is a process of knowing. And this word communicates to live in, okay, to know. This word is translated different ways in different versions of the Bible. But to live in or to know is a progressive growing and understanding of our relationship in Jesus. And in that, we know the Father, but it's a process. And the more we pursue him, the more he fills our hearts with his love, and it begins to manifest and it begins to grow. And the more we exercise that love, the Bible says that it begins to grow and manifest even more. But we have to engage in this process. We have to desire to know the true God. We have to ask God, give me the understanding and the ability to live in you so I can pursue you with everything in me. And I want to progressively continue to grow in my relationship with you. So my challenge is this to you, church. Some of you brand new Christians, we know, we've watched you get saved over the last year, a few months, and you're just learning about who this Jesus is. And I remember that feeling in my life. It's exciting. It's new. It's so fresh. And then there's others of us that have been serving the Lord for a really long time. Both of us, all groups of people, we need to rekindle in our hearts and minds and say, God, renew my understanding in my mind and give me a passion to pursue you. I can't get stagnant. You never end. You're bottomless. The gift that you've given is endless. And I need to pursue that relationship with you and learn to live in you, Jesus. The key to understanding God is and understanding this relationship is to live in the relationship with Jesus. We've got to stay there all the time and never get tired. Like Joni was prophesying to you today. She was prophesying the message here today. She said, look, we need to desire to fill those needs that we have with the presence of God. We can kind of try to put all this other stuff in it, but it's going to always end up leaving us hopeless and helpless and empty. But there's a real God with a real heart and love relationship designed for you, and we just have to pursue Jesus. And he manifests through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, does all kinds of great things. But it's personal, it's real, and we have to cultivate that knowing, progressively growing relationship. You can know the real God. And here's an illustration that I have for you that I found. And Dave Davila, 24, took a job in Chicago and had to leave his close-knit family in East Moline, Illinois. But family gatherings weren't the same without Dave. So his mother took a digital photo of Dave and had it blown up to its actual height at 5'8" and mounted the photo on heavy cardboard. At first, flat Dave just showed up and stood quietly by at family gatherings. Then the word spread throughout the community, and he became something of a celebrity in East Moline. And complete strangers wanted to pose with Flat Dave and his brother Dan. He also said, "I think Flat Dave is actually better looking than real Dave." Sometimes things got somewhat awkward for the real Dave. The one the family now calls Thick Dave, right? I'm in Chicago talking to my mom on the phone, and she says, "Hold on, I've got to go load you in the van. It's a little weird." First John 5:20 says this: live in fellowship with the true God, right? Because we live in fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, you're designed to live in real fellowship with the real God. You don't have to have a relationship with a flat Jesus or Jesus just on paper, right? This is not Jesus. This is a book about Jesus. The apostles never even had this book. They knew him. They met Thick Jesus. Real Jesus. Jesus with a real heart. Jesus with real skin. Jesus who really lived with real nail holes in his hand and a real hole in his side. And he had real blood and he had real feelings and a real heart for us. And he really came to trade it all for you and I so we can know him. He's real. He's not flat. He's not fake. I got another one. 100 decoys were placed on Izu Island of Japan to encourage endangered albatrosses to breed. For more than 2 years, a 5-year-old albatross named Deiko tried to woo a wooden decoy by building fancy nests and fighting off rival suitors. He spent his days standing faithfully by her side. Japanese researcher Fumio Sato said this, talking about the albatross's infatuation with the wooden decoy: "He seems to have no desire to date real birds." You know, I used to duck hunt when I was a kid a little bit, and I've shot some decoys. They don't taste as good as real ducks, I promise you. But this bird seems to have no desire for real birds. Some people have been hurt, some of us. We've been hurt so deeply. We've been rejected, left, abandoned by people that we trusted, that it's easier to pretend to have relationships than to have the possibility of ever being hurt again. Isn't that true? Sometimes it's easier just to love a fake bird. Sometimes it's easier just to pretend to be in relationships than to really be in them. I know what that's like. I get hurt easy. I know what it's like to get through hurt. It's hard. I've probably been one of the biggest struggles of my entire life is to work through getting hurt. Try pastoring people. You're going to get hurt. Try being in a church, right? You're around a lot of people. And we get hurt easy. An old friend on Facebook, I just read, she said, "I hate men. You'd think after 3 husbands I'd get a clue." It's pretty sad, right? I remember this gal when we were kids together, elementary school together. And I never would have known that she would have experienced such tremendous hurt. But she's saying the same thing. "I don't need a real man anymore. I'll take a fake one. This is too painful. I can't do this anymore." That's sad. Many of us are in this exact same place. The fear of being rejected again is paralyzing. But here's the good news: is you can trust Jesus. You can trust your relationship with Jesus. He will never leave you or forsake you, is what the Bible says. And in Romans 3, verse 3 and 4, it says true. Some of them were unfaithful. Do we have that passage? Oh, good. Some of them were unfaithful, but just because they were unfaithful doesn't mean God will be unfaithful. Of course, not even everyone, of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. That's what it goes on to say. Romans 3, 3 through 4. True, some of them were unfaithful, and it's true, church. People have been unfaithful in your life. I know it. Pastors have been unfaithful. Husbands have been unfaithful. Wives have been unfaithful. Kids have been unfaithful. Co-workers, close friends have all let us all down at some point. We've had these experiences. But just because they were does not mean that our God will be unfaithful. No, God is not a liar. He is the faithful God. He'll never, ever, ever leave you nor let you down. Even if sometimes his promises come later than we think we would want. Sometimes we get confused that experiencing suffering means God is not with us. That's not true. Suffering is part of this broken world. And God says that no matter how much you suffer, no matter how deep the valley of the shadow of death is, I'm the good shepherd. I will be there with you and I will help you go through it. God's love enables the free will choice, which enables sin to run rampant. But in Christ, even says here in earlier in John, you can read it, and we're probably going to talk about it next week, is that God, Satan's power or the sin of sin cannot control us if we're born into Christ. We are not imprisoned any longer to sin, is what Romans says about it. But even here in John, it says that his power, we have become overcomers because of our relationship with Jesus. So we don't have to live to sin, but we know sin really exists and causes lots and lots of pain. And we've all suffered from that. And it's scary to get back into relationships, and we'd rather maybe just have a fake bird, right? And let's just pursue fake relationships from now on, because they don't hurt me. Or we create a decoy of ourself, and we push that out there in the water and say, good to know him. And whether somebody shoots them or not, it makes no difference. They're all like, well, I'm not that person anyway. Right? Anybody here? I call that plastic Josh. Most decoys in our world are made of plastic, and I used to call him Lego Man. So I built this Lego Man that looked like me, and I like to live through him because it was easier. So anybody could challenge him or talk to him or, you know, whatever. I was like, oh, that's great. It's just Lego Man. That's just my wooden decoy that looks like me. But the real challenge is, do I have the courage to dismantle that decoy of myself, those masks and those that fear that paralyzes me from letting my church or letting you or even my spouse or your friends and family come in to really know you with wisdom? Because not everybody deserves to know you. Okay? So you can protect yourself and guard yourself. You don't have to let yourself be known by everybody. Some people should be out on the front door like the mailman, right? You don't let the mailman into your house. Some people should be in your walkway, your entryway, and that's good, right? That's okay. We need to make sure we don't let everybody in our living room know everything about our bedroom, right? There's healthy boundaries, and people that have truly earned your trust, you should slowly, progressively allow them back into those places, but not everyone, and they should earn it. A little wisdom from your pastor here. Just encourage you, be wise about how you open your heart, but I'm encouraging you to live a real life with people and a real life with Jesus, because he wants to know you. And this leads me to my next point. I'm going to read this passage real quick. Before I switch, go on to my next point here, is in Hebrews 10:22, and I don't have this passage up here, but I want you to listen. It says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Fully trusting him. Hebrews 10:22. Let us go right into the presence of God, because you can, because of what the Holy Spirit's done for you, the presence of God is available to you all the time, living in you. But we need to fellowship with him. We can go right into the presence of God, fellowship with the presence of God, with no rules, no regulations. You're instantly in His presence all the time. When you choose to fellowship with Him, you can. He says, let's just go right in. And let's enjoy this relationship because you can trust Him. The Bible says that you can. I'm telling you you can. You might not be able to trust everybody, but you can trust Jesus. And I encourage you to really pursue that relationship with Him. One last illustration. One can love religion like anything else in life, sports, science, stamp collecting. One can love it for its own sake without relation to God or the world or life. Religion fascinates. It's entertaining. It has everything that is sought after by a certain type of person: aesthetics, mystery, the sacred, a feeling of one's importance, and exclusive depth. That kind of religion is not necessarily faith. Even religious activity is not a connection with the real God. We can go through the motions with our cardboard cutouts of our friends and our decoys of ourselves and all of our religious activity and behavior, and none of it will equate to a deeper relationship with God unless we truly open our hearts. All the things that we do as believers hopefully are leading us as we're worshiping together. If our hearts are open, that kind of religious activity ought to produce more kingdom life and relationship. But your heart has to be open. People say, oh, church is dead. It is if you are. You are the church. We had a church. We all get critical of the church. All those people, they're just so religious and they're so dead. We're all so dead. Why do we even go to church? Live! Stop being dead. Open your heart. Man, church life to me has been invaluable my entire life. I got saved from nothing. I knew nothing. I had no genuine relationships. I was so lost. And I'm the most extroverted person I've ever met. Hey, it's me. Like, I lived in Nikiski and I talked to myself more than I talked to other people. I can talk. Don't dig too deep in there. You'll get really frightened. Some of you have, and you got too close. I have not experienced this broken church. Yeah, I've been discouraged in church and let down in church. But man, I could not live without the people that I really know and I really love and I really need. And being with them in my entire life from all the different places and churches that I've really been in, I can't imagine life without us. We need each other. The sooner we know we need God and we need one another, the sooner we begin to truly grow in our relationships. When we know we need God, He brings His presence. When we know we need others, they bring their presence to us. So Keith, I need you. And Keith goes, really? Why? He starts coming to me to meet my need. Because he genuinely cares about me. I know that's true. Right? My brother Frank. I mean, I know if I need somebody, if I tell him I got a need, the guy will strip all his clothes off and he'll give them to me. Oh, yes, you would. Don't lie to the church now. He'd probably keep his boxers on, but. Jesus said this in Mark 7, verse 9. You're like, you're preaching about a naked pastor. What? Mark 7, verse 9. Then Jesus said this to the Pharisees and Sadducees and leaders of that time. He said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own traditions. And in Matthew 23, 5, he says, everything they do is for show. Talking about the same groups of people, two different texts, but contextually it works, trust me. And so Jesus challenges the religious leaders and people of that time to say, look, you're just sidestepping everything in the law that really was calling you to draw closer to God. And he's saying, really, look, I'm the Messiah. I have come to fulfill everything that the law was all about, that was leading to. And the presence of God has come to you. And you're doing everything you can do to sidestep knowing the real God so that you can have these traditions that look like relationship, that are safer because they don't have your real self in them. These decoys are cardboard cutouts. Flat Jesus. The flat Messiah. The Jews are still looking for the flat Messiah. This cardboard cutout. He really came. Thick Jesus is here. He's real. He came in real life, not just fantasy. And he was there right in front of him. And they skillfully did everything they could do to sidestep, oh, you're not really the Messiah, even though you fulfilled every single prophecy that was stretched out for like thousands of years. It's like mathematically impossible for him not to be the Messiah. Scientists that go study this get saved like crazy. Because it's like one trillions of trillions to one, you know, of a chance that Jesus could come exactly the way they prophesied over so many different eras and different prophetic words and from different people. It's not possible. He has to be God. God designed you and I for a real relationship with Him, not just a cardboard cutout of the real thing. There's a big difference between reading about God and knowing Him intimately. There's a big difference between hearing about Jesus on paper and encountering Him personally. There's a big difference between carrying around a cardboard cutout of Jesus and carrying within you the power of the living God who has fully given everything and all inheritance over to you and I as His children. Back to John 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and He has given us understanding so that we can know the true God and fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God and He is eternal life, right? I think I skipped something. We live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with the Son. Did I skip all that? Jesus Christ, He is the one true God, and He is eternal life. I'm going to read some scriptures as we close here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right, and trust your lives to the God who created you, for He will never fail you. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promises. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God will do this, for He is faithful to do what He says, and He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Titus 1, verse 2. This truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. So we see He's faithful. He keeps His promises. He'll never fail you. He does what He says. He doesn't lie. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. God will make this happen, for He who calls you is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. He's there for you. He's real. He's intimate. Romans 11:29, for God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn. You know, you can't lose the presence of God. You can't lose the favor of God. The gifts that He gave you, He doesn't take them away. He just wants you to keep turning back in relationship with Him. That's it. He's faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are unfaithful, He remains faithful. For He cannot deny who He is. He is faithful. He has no other way. He has no other way.
Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. What Jesus said about himself, who he is, what the word says about him and the things he spoke will never pass away. John 5, verse 11, he has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has real life. Has real life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. This life, this word in life, is what is real life. Not the fake things that we try to put in place of that. And we're going to close this by the last scripture in 1 John 5, verse 21. It says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." This word or phrase, to keep away in the Greek, is to guard, to watch, to abstain. You've got to be on guard. You've got to be on watch to keep away these things that are the enemy of your relationship with Jesus. Because God doesn't want you to have anything in between you and Him. He wants your relationship to be fully and intimately known in fellowship all the time. Knowing and being known. If you're struggling, spend time with Jesus. I'm not saying it's going to fix what's happening, but you will be able to endure what's happening with your relationship with Jesus. There is nothing in this world. There is no brokenness that you have, and no brokenness or trauma or evil things that others can do to you or to I that we cannot withstand or thrive through when we have our relationship with Jesus. We can endure everything with Him. Church, I'm telling you, it's the truth. People have done it. Lost limbs, been lit on fire, watched their families eaten by lions, been rejected, called bad names, persecuted, whipped, beaten, flogged, drug out, imprisoned, exiled, all for the name of Jesus. And Jesus, in his relationship with them, was able to endure. Able to cause them to endure. And in the end, their reward in heaven is great. One of the greatest reward we have is relationship with God. You with me? It's the greatest reward we have is relationship with Him. The Bible says in Exodus that we're not to make any idols or graven images for ourselves. And then Exodus 34, it says, "You must worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose very name is jealous." You know His name is jealous? Is a God who is jealous about His relationship with you. That's awesome. That's an awesome thing to think about. He's jealous for your relationship, for our relationship. Just like a jealous lover when he thinks about his wife with another woman, just rages. Or man thinking about his wife with another man. I'm so mad about it, I can't even get it straight. Just makes me blind angry. He's so jealous for you that he'll do anything, and he has done everything to possess you. To know you, to help you, to comfort you, to cause you to succeed and do the things in your heart you know you were made to do. John 14, 6 says this, and we're closing with this. As Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," the real life. "No one can come to the Father except through me." So where is God's place in your heart? Don't let anything get in the way of your relationship with Jesus. You're struggling? Check in your relationship with Jesus. If your marriage is struggling, check on your relationship with Jesus. Men, can I talk to the men in this church today? Don't be a decoy. Don't be a cutout
of a real person. Have the courage to open your heart and not be defensive and allow yourself to be known and understood and trusted by your spouse. Don't let the little things build up and drive your heart away. Have courage to be known. Have courage to know and to listen and understand your wife. That's probably one of the scariest things to do right there. I know. I'm not judging you. Okay, listen. I'm right there with you. But you need to. Your marriage needs you to. Your wives need a real you, not a cardboard cutout. Like the Grinch said, just baby steps. Right? Just says it. I don't know if you remember when he, like, his heart starts growing. He's like, it's all like, I'm feeling, you know? I don't know if you guys seen The Grinch, but it's a great movie. And he just, like, turns and his heart starts. He's like, I'm feeling. And then his dog starts licking him, right? He's all like, oh, Max, I love you. Right? And then he's all like, stop it, stop it. Baby steps, baby steps. This baby steps. But commit to your spouse. Commit to God that you're going to open your real heart to them and be known. Just preaching at the men right now. Ladies, be patient. Don't freak out and jump all over your man. Oh, he's starting to feel. He's a real person. He's starting to feel. And then it's like, overwhelm them. It's baby steps. All right? Just a little bit. And after that, let's take another little step. Right? Let's be real. And let's allow other men into our life. Men, if we can do this, our families will begin to thrive. But so many marriages, this is where they're all lost. It's because we let things come between our relationship with God. Some kind of sports thing like the Seahawks becomes too important. Golf becomes too important. She's amening right down here. I don't know about you. Okay, hunting, fishing, trapping, shooting, climbing, building, digging, whatever it is you're into, right? Why does that guy dig so much? I don't know. He just likes it. The size of his back. Whatever it is, don't let those things come between you and God and then you and your spouse and you and your children. Let's just start there, right? Hey, church, will you stand with me? And ladies, don't freak. Don't freak, don't judge, don't push. Be patient. Be patient. Pray. The Bible says pray, right? Oh, let's wait. These guys can do it. I know. I've seen God crack the hardest-headed Cro-Magnon man because I'm looking in the mirror at him every day. He can do it. If he can crack my Cro-Magnon head, he can crack yours. You know, men, we're just a bunch of cave guys. We don't know how to do, like, feelings and life. But our wives can help us, and opening our heart can really help us, and really pursuing that intimate relationship with Jesus can do it. Pursue the Holy Spirit. Pursue the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. I promise you'll begin to soften. If anybody here wants to make a personal commitment to Jesus, you want to know this Jesus that we're talking about intimately, I'm asking you to come forward and pray with some of our leaders here today, and we'd love to introduce you to them. If you have any needs for prayer or for ministry, for your marriage, for your relationship, whatever, wives, don't just drag your husbands down here, but husbands, if you want to come down here and you want breakthrough, then I'm asking you to come, right? If you want to pray for your spouse, whatever, you can, just come. And we're going to do one thing, is that we had a family in our church that their baby ended up in the hospital, and they need help financially. And so the days, they brought their brand new baby here to church today, and they don't know we're doing this, but I felt in my heart, and our team felt in our heart, that we really want to reach out to them and want to help them with their doctor bill. Their baby had a virus, and respiratory virus, and it was very serious. And praise God, baby's out of the hospital, baby's at church today, but we got, right, amen?
But I know they have, and I don't know how much they are and what would be how much their financial bills are, but we know it was a big deal. They don't have insurance, and so they need help. So I'm just hoping that, church, we're going to come together, we're going to fill this sucker up, and they're going to walk away blessed. Does that sound good? Okay. So that'll be right here up here in the front. And if you want to make your checks out to Justin or Aubrey, Justin Day, or just throw cash in here, that's great. If it all just goes directly to them, it's the easiest and simplest, and we'll just bless them today. And then also continue to give regularly and faithfully to our church. Make this church great. Help us keep going. You give in these boxes up here in the front and the back, right? But this is separate from your tithes and offerings. This is an offering to bless these people. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your great love, your pursuing love. Thank you for your gentleness and your heart of compassion towards us. We reach out to you today with our hearts, and we ask that you would soften them. And we ask that you would just touch our hearts and help us to become real people, not just the cardboard cutouts of who you made us to be. God, that you will cause us to be the real people you designed, your masterpiece. Fill us, God. Fill us, God. Fill us, God. Come on, church, just asking God, fill my heart. Fill me up. I need you. I don't need just another religious act. I need you. I need my relationship with you. Rekindle it. Fire it up. Oh, fill me, God. Fill me up to overflowing. God, I'm asking that you rescue marriages today. I'm asking that we will have the understanding to pursue one another, to pursue our spouses today. That you'll just release that understanding. We come against pride. We pray that humility would reign in our families. God, that you'll give a tremendous measure of humility to the men of this church. God, that they'll just lead with humility, be open, and they'll just be tender and soft. And God, that they will just listen to what their wives are saying, and that there is really a gap. There really is a gap in really knowing. God, that we will say, I need help. I need you. I need my spouse. And God, you'll help women to be patient and loving and not accusing. God, because we all come from brokenness. We all come from hurt. We all come from loss, and we need you and we need one another. I pray for intimacy to reign and love to reign in this church. Love covers a multitude of sin. I pray that it'll cover all of our mistakes. We love you today, and we desire to go in peace and in faith and in your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you, church. You're beautiful. If you want to receive Jesus or have any ministry in prayer, please come down. Otherwise, you may be dismissed. God bless you.